fundamentally, there is no difficulties in life. Just being this true person we are, just being this fundamental endowment, that is this life, nothing else is needed. And yet, as we've clarified throughout our life, as we clarify in our practice, as we've clarified in the past few days, somehow believing fears, believing solidity of experiencing an ongoing change, we miss this life that we are. Therefore, there's need to clarify fundamental endowment. There's need to clarify this true person that we are always, that manifests in myriad forms in our life. Clarifying what it is we do that creates difficulties allows us to not be hindered by those, since they really don't hinder us. Even so-called reactive habits, even so-called fears, even so-called poisons don't hinder us in the midst of this ongoing change, arising, passing. Of course, so-called thinking, feeling, all the rest, no problem. To reverse the quote I gave you yesterday from Soen Roshi, this shit-sticking person is exactly this true person of rank, of no rank, and yet in our habits, we hinder our own freedom. In our habits, we hinder this world-honored one that we are, this world-honored functioning that we are. So, recently in a class where we were exploring Joko's writings, there was a phrase that Joko used, which she translated, quoting from, I think, what's it called? An English translation of the Hebrew Bible, I think it was the King John's version or something like that, which said something like, "For as one thinks, that is how he is. And it struck me that there was something wrong with that translation, not with what she said, but with the way that translation is, that one is as one thinks. Because it was, it, in one sense, of course, it's true. Getting caught up in thinking makes our life into how we think about it. But it didn't seem that that was an accurate translation. So I went and looked further into the original text. And the word is, I'll just say it in the original just for anyone who understands that. It says, Ki kamo she'or b'nafshoi hu kain, which, or if you say it differently, why, excuse me, not hu kain, kain hu. Ki kamo she'or b'nafshoi kain hu. And the word that they translate as think, I looked at it and really think is a sloppy translation of it. But in a way it's very useful, because the word really is as one separates or splits. So in a way, I think that points to a very valuable thing for us to see, that what thinking does is it splits and separates our life in many ways. And it creates resonances because of the constant splitting of our life and separating, meaning separating and holding on to I like and I don't like, I want and I don't want, that's good, that's bad, that's her, that's me, that's not me. So as one believes and holds on to this picking and choosing of our life, that becomes the way we are, or I'll say it differently, that becomes the reactive habits that arise throughout our functioning, not because we make an effort to think, but because, if I say it, that's what lays down the neurological tracks in our physiology, in our physical, mental functioning, in our brain and in our body, so that we react almost instantaneously with these unseen habits of greed, anger, upset, when we believe something about so and so, without even noticing the believing, but noticing only the separation that seems natural and true. Which is why when Dogen talks about what is it we're doing when we're sitting, he says, think not thinking. Of course he doesn't say it in English, but he says it in Japanese, in Fukan Zazengi. And what is thinking not thinking? Thinking not thinking is non-thinking. See, non-thinking, if I say it, is before, is the container which in thinking and not thinking arise, but it's a bigger container. It's the bigger container of not knowing, experiencing, It's the container within which we can include I, mine, not I, not mine, but not have to cling to these, not have to react out of these except as we choose to pick them up and use them. Because we are familiar with and we live out of this non-thinking that we are. We live out of this ongoing changing that therefore can have all sorts of arising without us having to react to it, without us having to believe the reacting to it, because we know fundamentally the changing nature of it and therefore don't buy into the reactive of, if this continues then I'll be in trouble, then I'll lose what I want, or then she will get what I want and I won't. See? We were talking about safety. One way to always be safe is to never do or expose ourselves to anything that's changing, anything that's going to be other than how we've set it up. But of course, then our life becomes fixed and rigid. Then we miss this very ongoing change that is our function. Even in Zazen, though we sit upright and still, we're always moving, breathing, blood coursing, muscles not rigid, but relaxed and flowing. Otherwise, we just create tension, rigidity, and pain. Even in being still, much less in moving one way and thinking we should move another way. If we make what's changing into solidity and things for ourselves or for others, then we're going to bump into them, since they aren't really that. We aren't that. Other beings aren't that. So this, in a way, is both a clarification of what causes trouble, but at the same time it's an indication of what it is that allows us to be free of trouble. If we don't hold to those habits, if we see those habits for what they are, if we see that thinking for what it is. Now, you all know this, and yet when the habits of reaction arise, they seem true. They seem true because we've laid down this thinking separating, this thinking, I don't like to call it thinking, frankly, but that's the word that they use in the English translation, so I'm saying that. It's really much more than that, to notice it. If you all have sat, and you have, you know that even the aspect that you're conscious of is much more than thinking. It's many realms of what we call physical, mental life. And we are, as Rinzai says, this true person that has this physical, mental life coming in and going out of our face at each moment. That means we can look and see this at each moment in our functioning. Then there is no problem. Then being on top of a 100-foot pole, great. Being at the bottom of a 100-foot pole, wonderful. Each place is not fixed because we are constantly changing. The foot, the pole, is constantly changing. We only stick places to our own detriment. In a way, I've just summed up what we've talked about for the past few days. But let me add two or three other little phrases, and then we can clarify this together if there is something to say. Many of you are familiar with the phrase, above the heavens, below the earth, I alone and the world honored one. That's one expression of the Buddha's birth with that phrase. And in a way, that's not different from what Dogen says. Forgetting the self is being awakened by the myriad phenomena, myriad things. Being awakened by myriad things means each circumstance that we arise in, that we discover at this moment, is the circumstance where we can manifest this world honored one, or soul honored one, as some other translations, which is exactly what this speaking true person, this speaking true person responds as this moment, or this true person gets befuddled and covered over, which is not different than speaking and yet is different for us. So we miss it. So we miss this fundamental endowment because we believe sounds, smells, tastes, feelings, conceptions, or let's say in one phrase, we believe the separations that we've made in our life, and we believe him not consciously, but because once you believe and reinforce them, they set this pattern in your brain in a physical sense, in your body in a physical sense. And some of you who know neurology know that recent neurological research actually shows this, that these reactive habits are manifested in electrical and chemical patterns of the brain and connections of aspects of the nervous system. And that's exactly what we have the opportunity of, if I say it, unprogramming in doing Zazen. Not to create some new program, but rather to allow us to truly see what's in front of us, to hear what's occurring right now. If we hear what's occurring, then nothing more is needed. No need to cut off any of these experiences. They are our opportunity to be this ongoing change. They are our opportunity to step from the 100-foot pole. And wherever we step, right there is the 100-foot pole for this next step. Right there is the opportunity of manifesting the myriad things is inside, myriad things is outside. Therefore, we're not thinging, I mean non-thinging, so that we can manifest this fundamental endowment, which includes all the things, and yet we are not thinging. We are the myriad things manifesting right now, manifesting right now, manifesting right now. Okay. I haven't said anything different than what I've said before, but I have said different. So maybe the way I've said it today has clarified something from yesterday. Maybe it hasn't. But we can explore this and see whether we can free ourselves more to be who we always are. And of course we can't, there is no more to do, but there is what we have to do now. So I'll stop and you can change your position, relax your posture if that's necessary, and we can speak some more.
That, you know, what you said about the we have this neurological stuff going on, but then we can, by sitting, you know, that can kind of retrain the brain, I guess.
I wouldn't say retrain. Okay. I would say untrain. So that because it's not that we're retrained, we have a substitute to add. Mm-hmm. That's why I want to just get that. But go on.
Okay. But you also mentioned how, but still, sometimes those reactive habits come up.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, how do we, I guess, you know, it seems sometimes surprising to me that all of a sudden I'm going along and then all of a sudden there's this reactive habit that I hadn't expected to occur. Right. There it is.
And you tend not to?
I tend not to think of it as my friend. I tend to think of it as, oh, gee, there it is again. No, I have to, you know.
Now, in one sense, there it is again means also there is the consequences of me doing, feeling, holding to that. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. not pleasant. That's unsatisfactory. That's suffering sometimes. Mm-hmm. Or that's harmful. How it shows up isn't always important to know. In some sense, if I use a different image, it's like if you have a coiled spring and you coil it real tight, every time it has an opportunity to uncoil a little, it'll show up. Even though it showed up a little and you didn't further coil it, there's still more coiling that will show up at various circumstances until it, so-called, no longer plays itself out in that way. So in that sense, we could use that image to see what these reactive habits of fear, which is a more underlying one, or anger and greed, or confusion, or whatever the more specifics. I mean, those are just some of the many ways we can talk about these that are both physiological and psychological and others. Our ability to be, let's say, more fundamental means our ability not to get caught by that reaction as much. Even though the habit of the reaction is to follow it along almost automatically, because we're not caught by it, it in a sense makes it less powerful to run our whole life. It's one of many cars that are running down the road, but it's not the only one. It's not the one that causes us to start yelling at people because that car came down the road. However, if we're constantly focusing on when that car comes down the road, and that's a reason to yell at someone, when I'm talking with someone and all of a sudden that car comes down in this conversation that she and I are having, and I start yelling at her because that car came out of her mouth, mm-hmm. meaning the way she said it, or what I think it means, or why she brought that up, or then it makes for difficulties. If I can let it come down the road and then pass on, then I don't yell at her, she doesn't get yell at me, and we don't get into a fight, or worse. Or I don't beat myself up. So one of the aspects of sitting, or one of the aspects where Dogen talks about think not thinking, is not that you're trying to change your thinking, but you're being this non-thinking, if we say it that way, being experiencing, if I say it that way, being forgetting self, if I say it that way, so that beingness that is who you are doesn't get blinded by this little aspect, this thinking, which you turn into a thinging, T-H-I-N-G, into something solid and something that therefore needs to be followed along, mm-hmm. into something that's either I or is not I. If it's mine, good. If it's not mine, then that means it's bad. Either one of those creates trouble for us. That's that whole I and mine. That's what this true person can take many forms. If we see that holding on to any of those becomes a barrier, then seeing that allows us in a way to take away the barrier, to allow that to be become invisible, become transparent, to become just another arising, passing moment. Then it's nothing but this bigger life that we are, or this fundamental life that we are. Otherwise, we get caught up. So did that?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
I have heard you often use the phrase trust what is.
Uh-huh.
And I have interpreted that meaning being experiencing, but the myriad dharmas, whatever happens in that moment, just trust what
yes.
is. Would you speak a little more to that?
What more is there to say? Well, let me say it the other way. Notice when we're untrusting, and the way to notice when we're untrusting is either when we're reacting or we're believing the story of me or not me. That's me or that's not me. That shouldn't happen, that should happen. We believe our reactiveness to what's happening as opposed to being what's happening. We believe our what we add on to it. Trust means, in a sense, not holding on to the I, me, mine of it, or not adding on the notion of I, me, mine, even if it's a thought that I had or something I think they should acknowledge with for me, about me, or not acknowledge, or not blame me for. Either way. See, when we say I, we also say not I. We also say other. And when we say other, we say not I. And we say I at the same time. And that is what gets us in trouble. Because in my world, this not I is not supposed to exist. Or, in my world, this I is supposed to be attributed to me, not to anyone else. How come they're paying attention to him and not to me? Or, and it's always in the specific of the arising, which is nothing but our fundamental endowment, and yet it's not anything else except this moment right now as it is. Unless this moment becomes a barrier for us. A barrier to this that we are.
I find that I won't say all the time, but oftentimes I have those reactive habits, but then I hear you saying, trust what is.
Good. I'm glad I can help you. And I'm glad you can help you. See. And in a way, the practice practices us. See, the more we give ourselves wholeheartedly, or even not wholeheartedly, don't they? Though I say that word, if we use it to justify and judge, is this wholehearted enough? But the more we give ourselves to this experiencing moment, the more this moment lives our life, and we live our life in this moment, which is who we are from the beginning. There isn't two things. As soon as we get to two things, then we're thinking our life, and we're thinking the circumstances of our life, and we're thinking who we encounter. Thinking, not thinking. My accent sometimes covers over what I'm trying to say, so I emphasize. And I know thinking is not a word, but just like I talked about nouning and verbing a few days ago, it's to help us clarify what's clear and yet what we muddy up. It was interesting to me. I was reading a review of some recent scientific research on lotus flowers, and you all know the expression of a lotus in mud that doesn't get stained by the mud, or doesn't that the mud and water runs off the lotus. Now that's biologically so, and they've discovered that one of the reason that is that the cells and the structure of the lotus leaves is different than that of other plants, so that mud that gets on it, it's so tightly packed, little nodules, like, I mean, I'm using words that's on a microscopic level, that there's nothing for the mud to cling to, and the mud, or even they've done experiments like pouring ketchup or things like that on it, just runs off it naturally. See? So if the mud's there, but then it doesn't stick. See? So it's the stickiness to it. The stickiness to even the concepts and the words and the emotions that makes the trouble. Not the arising even of self-centered. No problem. It's the caught. It's the holding, as we say. And this is somehow this plant, in being different from other plants, has this quality, has developed this quality. And it's, I don't think they had microscopes, but they noticed that this happens, and therefore they used that image in the Buddhist tradition and in other ways in Asian traditions, to use the lotus as an exemplar of that quality. But that's also our quality, except where we cling or turn non-thinking into thinking, or into what I like or what I don't like, or into separating this way and that way. Then what's only comes and goes becomes something solid for us. Yeah, sure.
Can one say that that this non-thinking is just looking?
You can say that, but usually when we use the word just looking, we have a secret agenda connected with it, that I am just looking, and I am just looking at that. Mm-hmm. So we've sort of added on the subject and object, and in a way that's what I talked about the first day. It's fine. Just looking is a fine expression. Sure, just looking. But notice, if just looking doesn't want to see when someone else gets that gold medal, or when I don't get a piece of cake because there's none left, and I've been looking forward to that one. I've been just looking forward to that one, and it's gone. And, okay, well, I wanted that cake. Okay. Or, I wanted that cake. I never get that cake. It's not fair. They're always giving it to those other people. They don't pay attention to me. Or, and then you go on from there.
Well, if one just, you know, makes the practice effort to just look, noticing at the same time that one wants to see what's, you know, that the other, that makes it the other, though.
We could use words, but we have to see what, of course, just looking, just hearing. Well, why do we need just? Why don't we just say looking, hearing, smelling? Didn't it? Lin Ji, in the true person, no rank quote, doesn't say just see, he just says see. Now, there'd be another phrase in Chinese. There's, you know, look. So, but the words are supports or they're hindrances. Don't worry about exactly which word you use, but be clear on what's happening and we become clear out of being present. Even present for confusion. Confusion comes, confusion goes. Fine. And then if we hinder confusion, if confusion's a barrier, then be the confusion barrier. But we don't like that. Then we have trouble. So, find just looking. And I don't know.
Like just when you're at a store and somebody asks, "Can I help you?" You say, "No, I'm just looking," but you're looking for something.
Yeah, but you're even saying more than that. You say, instead, you can say, "No, thank you." When you say, "No, I'm just looking," there's more there. Mm-hmm. So, what are we saying? Nothing wrong with saying, "I'm just looking," or "I'm just looking. Don't bother me. Why are you always coming to me? Can't you leave me alone? What are you, trying to get into my business?" And some of you who work in, in places where you have a public, know the difference of how you respond when a public, public service, that's not the word. Well, I don't mean just retail, but I mean where there's encounters with the general public. But retail is one example. That's good. But I want it to be broader. No, just to be broader, where you have contact with random public showing up. So it could be service industry, could be retail, could be at the Zen Center where people come in when you don't expect them. Or when you expect them, or don't come when you do expect them. See, it's the being this non-thinking, or being this that we are, being experiencing, being this ongoing change. All of those are just words to encourage us to be who we are. You don't have to do anything to be experiencing. You can't help it. Can't help but be fundamental endowment, because it's called fundamental. It's fundamentally who you are. From the beginning, practice is in enlightenment. Because from the beginning, that's what your life is. Your life isn't other than that, except that you believe it is. Then it's not, despite the fact that it is. And that's the point. Okay? Though it doesn't say it in Chinese, if you translate the Chinese into English, you could add, to Linji's statement, there it always is this true person, no rank, coming and going from your flesh, from your face, from this lump of flesh that you are. And this true person of rank, there's always this true person. Nothing else. No one else. Nowhere else. And yet we don't believe it. So we have to work with the don't believing true person. Yeah?
Well, in a sense, we do believe it, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Yes. We do believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our actions speak louder than our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore we know we also believe it and don't believe it. And when we're in the don't believe mode, we create problems for ourselves and others. And that's the point, is to see where we're creating, I'll use the word problems, you could use any of numerous other words. Then, So we continue practice. And then when we no longer create problems, then it's obvious to practice. Or practice is obviously who we are. So we continue. And since there's always opportunities to improve perfection, that's our life. See, perfection doesn't exclude improving perfection. Otherwise, you think there's a resting place. Don't want to let us settle down anywhere. Because that's what the koan that Koshu brought up yesterday. That's on the top of a 100-foot pole, no matter, or a 1,000-foot pole, or right there, you have to step forward. Nowhere to rest on your laurels. Since we're not resting anyway. But if we try to rest where we can't rest, then we get arrested. Arrested in all sorts of ways. We are arrested in our life. Did I say something?
Oh, no. Arrested.
It's a good show, Arrested to Help.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not.
That's not what I was.
It's hilarious.
I don't watch some of those programs. Oh, I've heard the phrase somewhere. I don't know what it's about.
How are you talking about?
Oh, is it? Good.
It's kind of the situation for all of us in Arrested Development.
Yes.
It seems like we came into this world. I was sitting here thinking about the babies that I've cared for and the spaciousness in their eyes and the mystery of how they move, you know, and then they're so surprised at their own hand. And that's kind of the fundamental sort of essence of the being. And we lose that as we become conditioned to be somebody by people who think they're somebody. Huh. And sitting for me, after days and days and days, suddenly I get that glimpse back in again of that spaciousness. And then very quickly, at first it separates out back into a story about myself.
Yeah.
And then I focus more to be present with the traffic, with the sangha, and it starts to remember itself. Huh. It's why I'm here.
I want to add one thing to that, is that even though a baby in one sense is born with the spaciousness, a baby is also born with all sorts of already habits, physiological and genetic and biologic, that create self and others, that naturally unfold into that. That's part of the human capacity and tendencies, and if they vary according, you know, different biologic tendencies, no matter how well they're brought up, or so it comes from myriad directions, and we know a little bit more about genetic and epigenetic tendencies that unfold, and that really there is no, you know, fault in that of parents or society doing that, but it's what's unfolding, just like a seed is unfolding. This mental, physical humanness unfolds, but includes various tendencies, and which is why for some people it's particularly hard to deal with anger and fear, and for others, even if they're in a similar external environment, it's much easier. And nevertheless, we each get to be and work with what we get, and that's our circumstances and conditions within which, or within this fundamental endowment we are, that's also the other side of the habitual self-centered caughtness that comes up in different ways. That's why in the Gatha of Atonement we use the phrase beginningless greed, anger, and ignorance born of body, mouth, and thought. I mean, that those are shorthands, but biologically and scientifically we know that there's a basis for that, just like we know that there are neurological patterns that develop as a result of behaviors, that the literally the brain isn't the mind, but the brain is one aspect of who we are, and the brain and neurological patterns develop, are laid down based on one, what we're born with, and two, what happens and how we take what happens. And how we take what happens depends on how we're born and so forth. So it's a multifaceted a multi-impacted moment life. And we know little bits of it. We can see little bits of it. But what's important for us is to take care of the little bit that we're aware of, and in being present, in experiencing, we can become more aware of what's going on and therefore have more capacity to live with less suffering, less stress, less harm. That's ours. Just like if you sat, you discover how much more there is going on because you're being less going on, silent, present. And if you haven't, then I encourage you to discover it. But I'm sure everyone has discovered that, which is why for some people it's so hard to even sit down and be still, because all of a sudden they find all this going on that doesn't come from anywhere else except themselves. But if we have the capacity and the skills to be that, to open to that a little, we also develop the capacity to not be as run by it, if I say it in that way. Yes?
We had this week several examples of that child that you're talking about is developed because of the things he's born with, and the controlling parent trying to keep that child safe, and when they butt up against each other, then there's problems.
Yeah. We all want to be safe, and as I said, Gautama's father tried to do that too. And yet, when we see that our life is bigger than just this little piece, then we know that all of life is going to be constantly offering us opportunities, and some of which we will see as not safe. And then how do we live that life? Because we get our idea of what safe will be, usually fitting something that I've predetermined, and then the world somehow doesn't quite follow my rules, despite the fact that I made it very clear how it's supposed to go. It doesn't follow my rules. Forget about the child not following the rules. The world doesn't follow my rules. Very frustrating for us. So, So your task in practice is being this fundamental endowment, which is very simple. Being this true person, hearing, seeing, smelling. As Hakuin Zenji says, sentient beings are primarily all Buddhas. However broad you or narrow you want to do sentient beings, hopefully you're included in that. Then you're primarily all Buddhas. Your fundamental endowment is Buddha endowment, which is ongoing change right now. It's only when we want to turn the flowing water into ice that we bump up against different things. And other things bump up against us and create pain or fractures or other. So our Zazen is being this, I'll use the phrase, unborn Buddha, which, it's interesting, Hakuin didn't like that phrase, because that was connected with Bankei's way of teaching, which he was teaching differently. But I'll use both their phrases at the same time, just like I use Linji and Dogen without any... All of the ancestors are making the same points from slightly different directions in their own language, in their own style. And sometimes, because we all like our own styles best, sometimes sticking to their own style to the exclusion of other styles for whatever reasons. Anyone else? This is your last chance, the session. Anything that I said that was unclear or that you want to pursue a little further? Good. And everyone is encouraged to continue this fundamental true person you are. Since you are that, your only task is to be what you are. And since you are that, there's no hindrance except what appears. And even that, embrace that as the opportunity of the moment. And you will manifest the myriad phenomena, the myriad dharmas that are who we are. Thank you.